All right, so we're in a sermon series called Generation, God's Heart, Our Mission, where what we're trying to do is really go, man, God has a heart for every generation, and because he does, that means we have a mission to every generation. And today I really want to unpack what it means and how we get about teaching the next generation about God, so that they will know him and love him and follow him. That's not just something that we should take idly, right? That's something that we kind of heard commanded. In the first scripture lesson that Vanessa read for us from Proverbs, it says that, point a child in the way that they're going to go, and they'll probably go in it. So they're either going to go toward God and knowing him and loving him, or they're going to go away from it, based on what you teach them. You similarly heard in that Ephesians passage, I love that it actually starts with the responsibility of the children. Like they have to listen. But it also says to fathers especially, hey, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the instruction and training of the Lord. This stuff we're commanded to do. And our next scripture lesson is Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, and it's going to build on all this theme. So why don't you turn to that passage now, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, in your Bibles, your pew Bibles, or your Bible apps. We're going to do a fairly deep dive into this text, so it will be helpful for you to have it open in front of you, not only as I read it, but also as I preach it. There's the particular words I'm going to bring to your mind. This is a really important passage. This is like the Old Testament equivalent of John 3:16. This is a passage that Orthodox Jews call the Shema, and that they will still recite twice a day. And the word Shema means hear. That word comes up in both verses 3 and 4. So hear God's word to you. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. I believe that content matters. I think that what we talk about, what we think about, what we listen to, what we watch, it shapes us. It forms us. I think most of you would agree with me on that statement, but I think all of us are guilty of underestimating just how impactful the content coming into our lives really is. Because I think if we were more mindful of it, I think we would curate it a little better for ourselves and for our children. In preparation for this sermon, I was doing some research, and there was a study done last year. The average teen consumes 4.8 hours a day of social media. Most popular platforms are YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. This does not include gaming platforms, which would probably bump the averages up a little higher. And we know this isn't good for us, right? And we know that this messes with self-esteem. We know it contributes to the diseases of despair, that there's a lot more anxiety and depression, addiction, suicide, that is directly linked to this kind of habit. But it still happens. And before you jump all over teens and their parents for how much of this is happening, I want you to think about the content you adults are consuming. I didn't look up the statistic, but I've been in enough of your homes that there's an awful lot of cable news on all the time. I'm old enough that I'm still on Facebook. I see a lot of stuff there. Not as many of you are on X or Twitter. It's not quite as popular to do talk radio today. But have you noticed anything about the average content of all these things I just was talking about? The average bit of this content is it's angry, it's polarizing, and it's negative. So should we be at all surprised that our world today, our society, is characterized by anger and polarization and negativity? And I want you to notice, for both adults and children, that the overwhelming majority of the content we consume on a day-in and day-out basis has nothing to do with God. I mean, on a great week, I will get 3 hours of your time. 4.8 hours a day on social media. And I think God has something to say about this. Matter of fact, I know He has something to say about this. This is what He says. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O church. Hear, O people. The Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Jesus, when asked what the great commandment is, will point to this. This is the most important thing. This is the content that matters. This is the content that should shape us. So I actually kind of want to unpack it. I just want to unpack it bit by bit, and I want you to notice something right off the bat. What the first thing you need to hear, the content you most need to receive, is it's our God. It's not my God. It's not your God. It's our God. And I'm going to need you, and you're going to need me, to get the fullness of who God is. None of us has all of God contained. Each of us brings a different facet or perspective about who God is to light. We need each other. But in the midst of that, you need to know that, well, He's our God. You can't divide Him, because the Lord, our God, is one. There's just one God. There's just one Lord. He's over everything. And I don't think we wrestle with paganism that much these days. But maybe we do in a very subtle form. Because what I think we wrestle with is we go, well, it's my version of God is the one true God. Like, and those versions, by the way, can be very contrary to each other. We got some people who go, man, God accepts everybody. You don't have to repent. There's no forgiveness. Everybody ends up in heaven. You have other people go, man, if you don't believe exactly this, say exactly this, get baptized in exactly this way, you're going to rot in hell for eternity. Who's right? God gets to decide. Because it's one God. He's self-identifying. He's self-determining. He creates it all. He gets to say. He gets to reveal. And He gets to call for a response on all of that. But as important as that is, as important as it is to know who God is, He's our God, He's one God, I think what might be even more important is what comes next. It's how you respond to one God. And it's not fighting for Him. It's not defending Him. It's loving Him. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Can you just do a love test for a second? How's your love meter for God these days? Because that's what really matters. That's what this text calls us to hear is love God. That's what Jesus is, the great commandment is love God. Love Him. And it might be great to know a lot about Him, but remember these words from 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, the great chapter on love. Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge and have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Knowledge and love are not competing, they're complementary. The more I know about who God is, the more I'm going to love God. But get that order right. That's the whole point of our content. That's the whole point of our teaching. That's the whole point that I'm trying to impress on you, is that we're called to love God and we're called to help others love God too. And our text then goes on to tell us two vital ways to show God our love, right? And the first of those ways is that you need to have these commandments in your heart, on your heart. I like the way Eugene Peterson renders this verse. He's like, get these commandments into your heart. That's what's going to be seen and received by God as love. And what are these commandments? Again, they're summed up with know who God is as the one true God and love Him with all that you are. Everything else will flow out of that. So the first and most important thing we can do is we can get God into our hearts. And I want you to pay really close attention to what it says here. It doesn't say, Here, if you want to love God, obey His commands perfectly. That's not what it says. It says, here, get these commands in your heart. Obedience will flow out of that. And this is such good news because guess what? None of us are going to keep God's laws perfectly. But all of us can get a greater and greater measure of them into our hearts. And we can do that in a bunch of ways. We can do it by meditating on it. By thinking about Him. By listening to Him. By reading His Word. By talking about it. By teaching. I mean, one of these things that I'm going to say a lot more about later is, man, I get God on my heart and on my mind when I talk about God. Anywhere and all the time. That helps get God's law into my heart. That helps me start paying attention and obeying. But you know one of the best ways to get God on your heart? It's to teach. Because he who teaches learns twice. And this actually gets to the second way that we love God. And the second way that we love God is we impress His commands on our children. I love that word impress, by the way. Like it doesn't just say teach, it says impress. And I like that idea because what we talk about, what we do, what we live out should make an impression on our kids. It should make an impression on our world. It should make a difference. It shouldn't be, yeah, that was nothing. It should be, even if they rebel against it, they should know that that's what they're doing. They're rebelling because it's made such an impression. And that's going to happen through content. It's going to happen through you talking about God all the time, everywhere. That's what leads to an impression being happened. So how do we impress the next generation? When Pam and I were expecting, who ended up being Ian, our firstborn, we called her parents to tell them the news, and they said something that made an impression on us. They said, welcome to parenthood, it's terminal. Every parent in this room just knows what I mean. I'm saying this because I want you to know that just because your kids are grown and out of the house doesn't mean you're done with what I'm talking about here. You never stop being a parent. So you never stop having the duty of impressing on your kids who God is and how to love Him. And I want to say something to those of you who are not biological parents as well, is that you can be spiritual parents. As a matter of fact, you promise to be spiritual parents. If you've ever been in this room or another room where a child is baptized, you stood up and you promised to be help raise them in the faith. You promised to make an impression on them about the faith. So I'm talking to all of you today. And what I really want to talk about is how can you impress the faith upon your kids, whether they're physical or spiritual. And the first thing I want to say is the impression is caught and taught. How you live will make an impression, as well as what you teach and say. This is why last week when we were in the sermon series and we talked about generational renewal, we talked about the best way for renewal is for you yourself to be renewed, because what you do will shape your kids. The fact that you're here shapes your kids, and it'll shape your adult kids too. Like when you invite them to church, even if they say no, you made an impression on them. When you talk about God with them, even if they kind of want to blow it off, you're making an impression on them. This is why, by the way, in this church, we always want kids to be here for the first bit of worship. And we say they can be here for the whole of worship if they want to. Because they might not understand the words we're singing. They might understand the thing that I'm saying. But when they see you worship, it's making an impression. So if you want to impress your kids, man, get God's word into your heart and let them catch you going to worship, reading God's word on your knees, talking about God all the time. Let them catch you in those moments. It'll make a difference. But that difference sometimes needs to be taught as well. It's not like catching and teaching are opposed to each other. They're complementary to each other. And so what I want to say next is if you want to make an impression on your kids, you have to teach them. You have to talk about this all the time, everywhere, as our text is going to lay out. You just have to talk about God. Now, that should be natural, right? I mean, if you have God's word in your heart, if you're following the first part of how you love God by getting this into your heart, you're going to naturally talk about it, because Jesus says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I still want to unpack this a little further, because I know some of you are absolutely terrified of talking about God, and particularly talking about God even with your kids. It feels really risky. I think the lesser risk. It's actually the lesser risk. So I want to demonstrate how easy this can be. Three ways to talk about God. All right. First way to talk about God is when you see something beautiful, just point it out and say God does good work. Right? How many of you enjoyed the weather on Friday? And wasn't that gorgeous? Wasn't God so good to us to give us a 70-degree day in January? See how easy that was? I just talked about God. You guys all tuned in to like, where did that 70-degree day come from? And somebody's going to go, oh, it was global warming. But you know who you just attributed it to? God. Do you think they're going to take time to argue with you? I don't think so. Another way to do this is when you see God move, when you see Him answer a prayer, call attention to it. Did you hear the news that so-and-so got released from the hospital today? Praise God. So-and-so scans just came back clear. I've been praying about this. Can you imagine how good God is to have done that for us? Man, so-and-so lost a loved one. But man, I see the hope of the gospel in their lives. You just talked about God, and you left an impression, and it wasn't that hard, and people don't usually want to argue with good news. They hear all that. It leaves an impression. Third way is ask questions. If you have God's word in your heart, you're going to have questions, right? I read the Bible, I have questions all the time. And for some reason, we're terrified of questions, but they're actually one of the best ways to get going on this stuff. And so if you have a question about God, ask people. Hey, what do you think? And don't ask just Christians. Ask pre-Christians too. Because God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. He gives wisdom and insight to the non-believer and the believer alike. And even if what they think in response to that question is completely wrong in your opinion, guess what? You've still got them talking and thinking about this. Jesus really models this. If you go look in the Gospels, I wrote it down. I wanted to make sure I had the numbers right. Jesus asks a total of 307 questions. He's asked a total of 183 questions. How many questions do you think of that 183 he actually answers directly? Just three. Most of them he answers with another question because it wasn't as important to answer the question as it was to get people talking and thinking about the question. And did it make an impression? Yeah, it did. So this is what I want you to do, is I want you to ask questions, and when you notice something beautiful, I want you to give credit to God, and when you notice God doing something, I want you to talk about it. And I think you should do this every time, all the time, and everywhere. I think one of the great lies that the devil has propagated on our society is that a personal faith needs to be a private faith. That's the devil. That's not the gospel. A personal faith should be very expressed. I know that the old rules for society and polite conversation are that you never talked about religion and you never talked about politics. But guess what? If you call Jesus Lord, you know what He commanded you to do? Talk about Him everywhere all the time. And you can do this in really non-offensive ways. And you can do this all over the place. You can do this here in church. And you can do this at school. And you can do this at work. And you can do this in the car. Did any of you take that class we offered a few months back on the TechWise family? Did any of you go to that? It was a fantastic class about how technology and the faith should interact on each other. And the guy in it makes a bunch of rules, or you know, soft rules that he thinks will help. One of his rules is that cars are for conversations. which I just love. He's like, you can't have your phone at all in the car. You have to talk to each other while you're there. And you can talk about God in the car. You can talk about him at school, and you can talk about him at home, and I really want to commend talking to him about it at home, because guess what? How much content are they consuming that doesn't have anything to do with God? A lot. And if you count only on the church to provide that content, it's just going to get overwhelmed. It's going to get drowned out by everything else. So talk about God at home. And you know what will help you do this? Reminders. Our text talks about, hey, tie these commandments on your hands. Tie them to your forehead. Put them on your doorposts and your gates. And if any of you know observant Jews, you know that they do all of these things. But you know, you can do something equivalent. You can give yourself reminders to talk about God. There's lots of ways. One way that's been really good for me is, how many of you have to change your password at work or on something every 90 days? A bunch of you. You know what a friend of mine suggested to me years ago? He's like, hey, every time you do, use a Bible reference. I've had some great ones. It's not my current one, so none of you are going to break into my stuff, but like I memorized Jonah 2:9. Salvation comes from the Lord. Because that was my password. And I don't think anybody was going to guess that one. Right? I've got a different one right now, but that's a great way to do it. You can set your phone to get a verse of the day. You can set your smart speaker to remind you about God all the time. My son Eric, there was a Sunday a couple of years ago that he couldn't be here, so he was watching online. He was under the weather, and I think it was a Pentecost Sunday, and that the church was born, we think, at about roughly 3 o'clock. That's when all the baptisms took place on Pentecost, 4 o'clock. And he liked that, so he sent a reminder on our smart speaker that says, at 4 o'clock every day, our smart speaker suddenly goes, reminder, thank God for the church. Reminder, thank God for the church. Now, most of the time I tune it out, but every now and then I'm like, oh, that's a good reminder. I should say thank God for the church. Another thing you can do is you can do some art that has Bible verses on it. Last week I referenced Joshua 24:15, and that excerpt that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I bet some of you actually have that somewhere in your house on a wall. And a really great way to have a conversation today would be to go look at that and say, hey, how are we doing with this? Friends, what I'm trying to say is, you're supposed to talk about who God is and how to love him all the time and everywhere. And you might need some reminders to do that. And you're supposed to impress this on your children, and you can do that by talking about God and by setting up these reminders. And there's a reward to all of that. Did you notice how much promise is in the text that we just read? Your children and their children will inherit the land. And it goes on. I just think knowing God and loving God is its own reward. There's joy and peace and all of that stuff in it. But there's actually very practical other rewards listed in the text. And I want to highlight two of them. One of them is that you'll enjoy long life. Most people go to the long part. I want to go to the enjoy part. Like, I know people who've lived long lives and they're just hard and bitter. I know people who've, man, they've had short lives, but they've enjoyed every moment of them because they're walking with God. And when you're getting God's word into your heart and when you're teaching it to your children, you're going to enjoy life. You're not going to regret that. And death, when it comes, whether it's long or short, isn't going to hold no fear with you, because you're just going to go, I get to go be with God, the one I love. The other thing I want you to notice is in the text, it says you'll increase greatly. I think we skip past that part of the promise a lot. But I think it's a really important one, is we don't want just ourselves to be renewed. We want renewal for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. We want renewal for the whole world. We want to see it increase. This is why part of our church's mission statement is the last line of it is to grow God's kingdom. We want to see growth. We want to see renewal go places. This is why we just raised a bunch of money and had all this stuff about having ones. And by the way, how exciting is it that when you get here next week, it's going to look a lot different. All the asbestos went out this last week. Demolition happens. Like, it's going to be really different back there and in the hallway next week. But all that so that we can increase greatly. But friends, here's what I'm calling you to do. Know that the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Get these commandments into your heart. Impress them on your children by talking about them whenever and wherever you are. And do it all to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I do pray that we've got this word into our heart. And that, Lord, it will overflow in ways that allow us to make impressions on our children, both literal and spiritual. Lord, I pray that we would see the enjoyable life you promise. And Lord, I pray that we would see a great increase in your kingdom. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.